What are we just starting to find some?
All right. I want to keep some friends.
Alright,
so I said, let's get today's daf is Zion. We're going to begin Mishnah Tes Zion. It's okay, because the truth is, Amud Daf's a little bit long, but Amud Beis is actually like a regular size page, so it'll be alright. Says the Mishnah, Heichan Hayu Hishtach HaVoseilus. If you remember again, we spoke about before the fact that there were 13 different prostrations in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Mishnah asks, where were these prostrations? Arba B'Tzafon V'Arba B'Darom Shalosh B'Mizrach U'Beis B'Ma'arav. There were 4 in the north, 4 in the south, 3 in the east, and 2 in the west. Kineged shlosha asar sha'arim, corresponding to the 13 gates, the 13 entrances to the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Gemara is going to discuss them. Deromim smuchim ma'arav, so the southern gates, starting from the western side, were the following. Shar ha'elyon, the upper gate. Shar ha'delek, interestingly enough, Shar ha'delek was the gate in which they used to bring in the wood for the Mizbeah. So they called the Shar HaDelek the gate of the fire. Shar Bechoros, the gate of the firstborn. And again, particularly Chadatim points out, this is where they would bring in their Bechor animals, the Bechor Behemos. Shar HaMayim, the water gate. V'lamanik Shmo Shar HaMayim. This is interesting. The Mishnah chooses to explain this one. And why was it called the Shar HaMayim? Shebo machnisin sluches shal nisoch hamayim b'chag. Because it was through this gate that they would bring the flask of water for nisoch hamayim on Sukkis. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, says, bo hamayim mefachim v'asitim lios yotzin mitachas miftar habayis, because it is there that from this area that there is a trickle of water. There is a trickle of water that ultimately will develop into a much larger stream in the Messianic era. We'll discuss it in the Gemara. Lu'umasan are opposite those gates that we just stated. Betzafon in the north, smuchim b'ma'arav. So now this is again the northern side, but starting from the west. Shar Yechonya, the gate of Yechonya. We'll discuss again Yechonya. Shar HaKarban, the gate of Karbanos. Shar HaNoshim, the women's gate. Shar HaShir, and the gate of song. V'lama nikra shmo Shar Yechonya. Why do they call the gate Shar Yechonya? Shebo Yotza Yechonya Bigaluso. Also because, amazingly enough, we will see the story. We actually alluded to it yesterday a little bit. That Yechonya, when he was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, this was the gate that he left from. This was when he took leave of the Beis HaMikdash. He went through this gate. Therefore, it became known as Shar Yechonya. It just, as an aside, by the way, it points out over here that the Shar HaKarban was the Shar, the gate in which they brought in Karbanos for Shlita. The Shar HaNoshim was the Shar that the women used to go in, because we'll see, it's actually interesting, Machlokes, if women do smicha, if women go ahead and do the leaning process on their Karbanos or not. But according to the opinion that they did, there was a particular Shar for them to come through. And now next, Shema Mizrach, on the eastern side, Shar Nikanor. There was the gate of Nikanor. Now, both say, the Gemara Masechet Tainis, excuse me, Yuma, tells the story of Nikanor. Nikanor was a very generous man who pledged copper doors to the Beis HaMikdash. He had them fashioned in Alexandria. To make a long story short, when he was on the boat transporting them, a major storm broke out. They had to throw one of the doors overboard. They were about to throw the other one. Nikanor held on to it and he said, if the door is going over, so am I. And at that moment, the storm stopped. He was very upset, however, about the door that they had to throw overboard. When they pulled into port in Akko, they saw miraculously the door that had been thrown overboard bobbed up from underneath the boat. It had been following the boat the entire time. So Nicanor has a very special place of distinction. So Shar Nicanor, Ushne Pashpishin Hayulo Echaminov Echamismolo. Now, interesting, Shar Nicanor was a very large gate, so there were two smaller doorways within Shar Nicanor, one on the right, one on the left. Ushnaim b'ma'arav, there were two more gates in the west. Below Hayulah and Shem, but they were not named. Apparently, again, they were not major access points, and therefore they didn't have particular specific identities. Says the Imam, Masnisen Abba Yosa ben Yochanani, the Amar Kuneged Yudgimel Sharim. So our Mishnah reflects this idea of Abba Yosa ben Yochanan, who says that the prostrations correspond to the 13 gates. Baram Kirabanan Shiva Sharim HaYubazara. So, but remember, according to the rabbis, there were only 7 gates within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, Al Das Rabbanan, So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Everyone agrees that there were 13 areas to prostrate yourself within the area of Har HaBayis of Beis HaMikdash. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Yosef, or Yosef ben Yochanan, that corresponds to the 13 entrances. But according to the Rabbanan, there were not 13 entrances. If that's the case, then why, according to the Rabbanan, would there have been 13 prostrations? To which the verse is very interesting on both sides. He says, Ki ahi detanina tamon, Yud Gimel Pratos Hayu Shepirtsum Malchei Yavan V'Chazru V'Gardom B'nei Chashmonai V'Gazru Kenegdan Yigimel Hishtachavil. So we'll say, interesting enough, on the Har HaBayis, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there was another surrounding wall. So according to the Rabbanan, during the times of the Greeks breached that wall in 13 different places. And the Chashmonaim repaired those breaches. So according to the Rabbanon, the 13 prostrations on Har HaBayis correspond to the 13 breaches in the outer wall that were repaired by the Chashmonaim. Ksiv, Vayaba Yomahu, Yetsu Mayim Chaim Yushan. Now we get into a little bit of this discussion about this stream. The Mishnah made reference to this stream that emanates from the Har HaBayis. So remember, the Mishnah brought this up by the discussion of the Shar HaMayim. So one opinion as to why it's called the Shar HaMayim was because this is where they brought in the flask of water, the jug of water for the Nisach HaMayim. The other opinion said what? That this is where there's a small stream trickling out that will become even bigger in the Messianic era. So now the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Zechariah. And the Pasuk says, and it will be in that day, Yetzu Mayim Chaim Yerushalayim, literally spring water, will emanate from Jerusalem. So what does this mean? Tony. Now we'll say what's interesting is the Gemara is going to describe over here that apparently in the Messianic era there's going to be this stream now remember we already know there's a channel of water that goes through the Beis HaMikdash. We've learned that on a couple of different occasions. This is something different. This is talking about that there'll be a channel that will start from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and extend outwards. Now we'll say what's the big miracle of this? There's a lot of symbolism here. On the most basic level, water representing vitality, water representing life. This idea that in the Messianic era there'll be a temple renewal. So there'll be a stream. So the Gemara describes this stream. So from the Kodesh HaKadoshim until the Paroches, Kekarni Sili Vikili. The stream will only be as wide as the horns. Sili and Vikili are different types of snails. So the idea is, I guess, a snail has antenna or something. So they're very thin. So when the stream begins, the stream will be very thin. However, Mina Parochas Adam is Be'achazov. From the parochas is the curtain of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, until the golden altar, which is the incense altar, Kekarni Chagovim. It'll widen a little bit, and it'll be like the antenna of locusts. Mizbeach Azov Ad Azoros, from the golden Mizbeach until the Azoros, until the courtyard, it'll be Kichut Shel Shasi. It'll be like the thread of the warp. Right? You also remember on their weaving machines and on the loom. So you had the warp and the woof, right, which represented the crisscross nature of the threads. So from the Mizbeach Azov until the Azora, it'll be like the thickness of the thread of the warp. Minam Azaros ad Miftan HaBayis kechot shel Orev. And from the Mizbeach until literally the entranceway to the Har HaBayis, or to the Beis HaMikdash compound, I should say, it'll be like the thickness of the woof. Mikan ve'elech, from there and on, kimapei apach. It'll be like the opening of a jug. So we'll say, so therefore the Gemara is describing this incredible stream that will emanate from inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and will get progressively wider as it goes on. Ksiv, v'hinei mayim mefachim min hakasif hayaminis, b'tzei sa'ish kadim, v'kav biyado, v'yomed, let me call this over here. So now the Gemara is describing a pasuk from Yechezkel, where the Navi Yechezkel describes this vision in the future of this stream of water. So how does he describe it? So what happens? The water will begin to flow, literally from the right side. The man will walk out to have a measuring stick in his hand. And he'll measure 1,000 amos. And he will pass me over waters that go up until my ankle. And then it'll take me across another body of water. It'll be up until my legs, literally up until my thighs. Ibarachio. Vayamad Aleph, I'll measure another 1,000. Vayavini Masnaim, it'll go up to my waist. Ad Masanyo. Mikan Ve'elach, Vayomad elef nachal asharlu uchal laavor. Then he'll measure another stream which he is unable to traverse. Afilu libironi, even a great ship, afilu libironi gidola, ein yochol laavor bo. Even a great ship will be unable to pass through it. My time. Well, what's the reason for it? Because he quotes over here now. The pasuk from Yeshayahu, v'tse adir lo yaavru, that the mighty vessels will not be able to pass through it. Mipnei ma, why not? Ki go'u hamayim, because the waters have become overwhelming or very strong. Mei shachu or mei sachu. It's quite from the pasuk. Mahu mei sachu mei latush. Waters that are so strong that you can't swim in them. So was that the idea over here the Gemara is describing is this idea that in the Messianic era there will be this very large body of water that will ultimately emanate from the Beis HaMikdash and will grow into a mighty sea. Again, obviously, some of this, at least in some part, is a metaphor for this renewal of spirit that will occur in the Messianic era. Amar Rav Chuna, ba'asrin karu l'shaita shachuna. Because Rav Chuna just points out Abosai that mei shachu, the Gemara is now saying that means the waters that you can't swim across, because in certain places they call swimming shachuna. Okay. Uperish yada vikirbo, ka'asher yafrish hashocha lishchos. And he will spread out his hands the way a person spreads out his hands to swim. Ma'u lischos, what does it mean? What does it mean, lischos? Amar Rav Yosi bei Rabbi Bun, mayin demismalalin ba'alma. These will be waters that will be discussed throughout the entire world. Ksif, bayomahu yeh makar niftach lebeis David, uliyoshe Yerushalayim lechatos ulenida. So I will say again, quoting from the pasuk from Zechariah, it'll be in that day that literally a makar, a water source, will be opened for the house of David and for the residents of Yerushalayim, and it will be used for chatos and for nida. What does that mean? Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonason, mi beis David va'ad yoshve Yerushalayim kisherim l'nida u'l'chatos. Now we'll say what this is referring to is this same body of water that we made reference to before. So this body of water that's going to emanate from the Kodesh HaKadosh will ultimately get progressively bigger. So from the house of David, remember, David HaMelech lived in Ir David. This makes sense, right? David lives in Ir David. Actually lived in Metsudas David. He lives in the house from the palace of David HaMelech until the residence of Yerushalayim. So from David HaMelech's palace until Yerushalayim proper, this body of water was large enough that a woman who was menstruating, could go ahead and purify herself in this water. Ulechatos. Chatos means I will say for para aduma. Remember again, for the process of para aduma, you require spring water. So the idea is that this body of water would have been suitable for a mikvah, for a nido, and also would have been suitable for mechatos. Mikhan ve'elech, but from the Yerushalayim proper and on, it becomes mixed waters. What does it mean mixed waters? We'll say spring water and rainwater. Now remember, understand, for a nida, or for that matter, any type of tumah purpose, so that's fine. You can have spring water mixed with rainwater. It doesn't pose a problem. Where it does pose a problem is for paraduma. Paraduma has to be from spring water. It cannot, it has to be from mayim chayim. And that's not the Hamish brand I'm talking about, right? I mean, right? It has to be mamish spring water. So this is very important. So therefore, again, what the Gemara says over here is that Lamaisa, until from David HaMelech's palace until Yerushalayim proper, it was usable for nida as well as for chatos. However, from Yerushalayim proper and on, it was usable for nida but not for chatos. Mikan veich mentar osim k'shem l'nida u'psul l'mechatos. Amar Belozer. Mi beis David va'ad yoshe Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Elazar argues. He says no. From David HaMelech's palace until the residence of Yerushalayim, k'shirim l'nida u'lechatos. It's good for nida chatos. Mikan ve'elech mei kat farsiv. Kat farisos heim. It's the water of slopes. Upsulin l'nida u'lechatos. And therefore it is not good for nida or for chatos. So we'll say, if you take a look, interestingly enough, the tikkun chatatin is almost right across. Over here in the right hand side, he says, Mekat Rafios. He says, Hushi Puahar, this refers to the slant of the mountain. Hanosun, excuse me, Shemadrono Misdodet Harbe, Vavara Samayim Derech Daf Hanosun Bimadron Upsulin Gam Lenido. So we'll say, apparently, sloping waters is also possible for Nido. Why? This is interesting. Even though it's rainwater, the concern with any kind of sloping waters is that it won't accumulate the necessary amount because it's a slope. there's a concern that there won't really be a concentration of 40 sa'ah in any one particular place. Okay. Ksiv. Layomer elai hamayim ha'ila yotzim al ha'gilila ha'kadmonim. So Rabbi Zayin, still quoting the pasuk, going back to Yecheskel now. So Yecheskel said, in my vision, so this man who was showing me these various bodies of water said to me that these waters go to the Galila HaKadmona. What's the Galila HaKadmona? Ze Yam Shel Samchu. This refers to this Yam of Samchu. I will say, what's Yam Shel Samchu? Look at the Tiklin Charetin again. He says, Ze Yam Shel Savchi. He says, this is the Gears of the Yalkut. The Sheva Yam Hin Sovim Laretz Yisrael. The Darish HaGalila HaKadmona Hu Yam Shel Savchi Shukar V'Galu. So we'll say, the Yam Shel Samchu is a lake. Is a lake actually in Eretz Yisrael? It was a lake in Eretz Yisrael, not far from the Kinneret, and this was also considered to be. I think the Samchu Lake. They might call it a different name, Sivucha. It's still there. I think most of it's actually evaporated, but this is the Yam Shel Samchu. V'yardu el ha'arava, and it'll go down to the Arava. What does that refer to? Zeyam Shel Teveria. That refers to the Sea of Teveria, the Kinneret. Uba'u Hayama, and I'll come to the sea. So Moshe is talking about that this stream that emanates from the Beis Hamikdash is so strong that it literally empties out into other what do you call it, tributaries? Is that the right word? Okay, it's other bodies of water. So what does this refer to? This refers to the Dead Sea. El Hayama Hamotzim Ze Hayama Gadol. This refers to the Great Sea, which normally refers to the Mediterranean. The Lama Nikra Shmo Motziim. And why does it call it the sea literally that goes out, corresponding to the two times that the sea overran its boundaries? When was that? One was the time of Enosh. Rabbah said the generation of Enosh when they started to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Medrash writes that at that point in time there was like a mini flood that ultimately the water overran its banks and wiped out some part of humanity. The Echa B'dar HaFlaga. The other was the generation of the dispersion where apparently again the waters overran their boundaries. It's interesting that the Gemara does not bring up the Mabul as an example of when the waters overran their boundaries, because that wasn't just waters overrunning their boundaries. That was a total drowning of the world. Rabbi Lezer b'shem Rabbi Chanina b'rishona yotza ad kabria. In the beginnings, when the waters overtook the world, so they went out till kabria. It's interesting, I will say, if you take a look over here at Tichlin Chanati, and again, b'rishona, Bedor Enosh Yatsu Ad Medina Shishma Kalbria Ubedor Haflaga Ad Babria. So I will say, interestingly enough, so Kalbria, some identify as a place off the Italian coast. So interesting, when the waters overran the world by Dor Enosh, they went up to the Italian coast. Ubishnia Yatsa Ad Kipi Barbaria. I will say, this is fascinating. And what is Kipi Barbaria? The Barbary coast. It was interesting. So again, the second time, it overran a Barbary coast, Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Chanina, b'rishon yotza ad kipi Barbaria, u'b'shnia yotza ad Akko v'ad Yafo. All right. Ad potavo v'lo sosif. So once again, the Pasuk says in Eov that until here, the waters will come and it will not go anymore. Ad Akko tavo v'lo tosif. The waters are only given permission to come up to Akko and no further. U'po yoshes b'ga'on galecha. And here, again, we'll say quoting the Pasuk, and here you will yoshis, you will establish yourself with the strength of your waves. Ad Yafo Ashis Go'on Galecha. Until Yafo, the sea will have the right to go ahead and come forward with its mighty waves. Necha Yama, Rava, Viraba, Viyama de Milcha. So we'll say it's actually very interesting over here. So he says, Necha, Yama Rava, Viyama de Milcha. So I understand why that stream emanating from the Beis HaMikdash would empty out into the Yama Rabba, into the Mediterranean, as well as into the Dead Sea. Why? Bishvil Mitkan. Because I will say, the assumption is that the waters that come from that stream of the Beis HaMikdash have the ability to sweeten the waters of the Yama Melech, as well as in the Mediterranean. Yama de Teveria, Yama de Samchu. But why does that stream have to empty into the Kinneret and the Samchu? Like, after all, again, those are already sweet waters. Listen to this. The Rabbos de Gassam. In order to multiply the number of fish species that are found there. D'chsev balimina tiyad digasam lemine minim tiyad digasam. So we'll say, because in the Pasuk says, in Yecheskel, the Pasuk says, lemina tiyad ki digasam, that literally there will be different species of fish. So the Gemara says, because they will be blessed with lemide minim tia degasa. They'll be blessed with multiple species of fish. Tani Rav Shimon Gamliel, ma'asa shalachti letzaidon. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, one time I went to Tzaidon, and what happens? And they brought before me more than 300 different species of fish. And apparently these fish must have come from either the Samchu Lake or the Lake or Kinneret. But the point is that these waters were blessed with multiple species of fish. Fine. So the Gemara says, V'nirpu hamayim, the water will be sweetened. B'tzei sav v'gava av lo yirpu l'melech nitnu. So also interesting, so the Pasuk says over here again, still quoting from Yechezkel, that the waters will be sweetened when they come out, but other waters will not be sweetened, and they will be given for salt. K'siv v'nirpu hamayim v'at amret v'lo yirpu. So which one is it? Will the waters be sweetened? Will the waters not be sweetened? So the Gemara says, no. Makom hu, it's the name of a place, u'shmo lo yirpu, and the name of it is lo yirpu. The waters will be sweetened. And where will the waters be sweetened? In a place called Lo Yirpu. It's like kind of reminding us almost of like when the Jewish people came to Mara. And yet in Mara, the waters became sweet. So in the future, this stream from Yerushalayim will empty out its sweetened waters into a place called not so sweet. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ksiv va'alanachal ya'ale asfaso mizeh u'mizeh. Kol eitz machal. I'll say, listen to this. It's such a beautiful image. So the Navi Yechezkel says this stream that emanates from the Beis HaMikdash on each side of the stream, what will happen? All types, kol eitz ma'achal, all types of fruit trees will blossom up. Lo yiba aleo, the leaves will never wither. Lo yitom piryo, the fruit will never wither. L'chadashav yivaker, and every month it will become mature. So the Gemara says, Tani Amar Rabbi Yehuda, l'fisha ba'olam hazeh tvo os l'shisha chadashim, v'ilan os l'shim asra chodesh. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the miracle? The miracle is in this world, you can get a crop of wheat every 6 months, but fruit only yield their fruit once a year. Aval oslo, but in the future, hatvua osa lechodesh, the wheat will grow every month. The ilan osa lishnei chadashim, and the trees will bear fruit every 2 months. My time. Well, what's the reason? Because the pasuk says lechadashav yivaker, that it will the produce will mature every single month. The fruit, the trees will mature every month. Amar Rabbi Yossi says, no. It's true that now produce grain every 6 months, bless you. And Elon and the trees go ahead and osin liyur beis chodesh. The trees can go ahead and produce their fruit once every year. Aval, listen to this. Aval the aslav and the messianic era of yom. So what will happen, Aval saying? The fields will produce wheat every 15 days. The Elon osin lechodesh echad. And the trees will produce fruit every single month. Shekim, amazing. Shekim atzinu sha'asas tvua b'mei Yoel l'chamish shasim. Because we're also again in the days of the Navi Yoel, we already saw this miracle occurred, and the fields produced wheat in 15 days. The karav mimena ha'omer, and ultimately they produced from it the karban ha'omer. My time, what's the reason? Ubnei Tzion gilu v'simchu b'Hashem Elokeichem, because you, the children of Tzion, Rabbi again, still quoting, now quoting from Yoel, the children of Tzion will rejoice, will be happy with Hashem your God. Kinasan lachem es hamora litzdaka. He gave you the mora. Rabbi mora is a type of rain. He gave you the mora as charity. V'yori lachem geshem mora umalkosh. And he'll go ahead and give you, these are barishon. These are all different types of rain. So some is heavier rain, some is lighter rain. And what does Rabbi Yossi hold when he says that every single month will mature? Each and every month, the trees will yield their fruit. And yet the Pasuk said before in Yechezkel that literally its leaves will almost heal. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Tarpia Meitzitz Aleha. Literally, it will sustain those who suck on it. That literally, in the Yimosa Mashiach, I will say, there'll be such a sense of sustenance and nourishment in the world that by taking a leaf and sucking on the leaf, you'll be nourished from that. The Taraf Mezona, I will say, interestingly enough, Taraf means food. That's where the Gemara is getting it. Ba'aleo Litrufa means that the leaf itself will provide sustenance. Rav Ushmuel, Chad Amar Lahatir Pesh Shalamalon, V'chad Amar Lahatir Pesh Shalamaton. So Rav Ushmuel had a machlokes as to what the leaves will do in the Messianic era. So some say it'll help the upper mouth, Now, what it means is help the upper mouth is that it will nourish and sustain the individual. And the other one said, no, it'll help the lower mouth, which is a reference to the bowels, that it'll loosen it. If a person needs their bowels loosened, the leaves will help you take care of that. So Pesha L'maton, others said that in the Messianic era, the leaves will even help the women who are barren. That somehow, again, just having the leaves, I guess eating the leaves, will ultimately help the women conceive. Another said it's such a beautiful image that in the Messianic era, even the leaves will be filled with such nourishment that those who are mute by sucking on the leaves will be able to once again speak. Ulu umasan b'tzavan. So Rabbi Sagan, remember now going back to the gates of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Atamotzi v'sha'ashal Nebuchadnezzar. The kind of was an amazing story. When Nebuchadnezzar came to the Beis Hamikdash with the intention of destroying it, ba v'yashav b'dofne shal Antuchia. He came and he sat on the outskirts of the city of Antuchia. Okay, we'll say Antuchia is outside of Eretz Yisrael, by the border of Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? The Yotza Sanhedrin Gidol Likras. And I will say, obviously, when Nebuchadnezzar marches on Eretz Yisrael, it's clear that they know there's going to be problems. So what happens? There's a delegation of the Sanhedrin that goes to meet Nebuchadnezzar. What happens? Va'amrlo, he gives man abayis as ali charif. So he said to Nebuchadnezzar, literally, is it time to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Are you here to destroy us? And what did Nebuchadnezzar say? Amrlahem, Oso shehemlachti aleichem tinehu li va'ani holich. Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm only here for your king. Hand over your king to me, and I will leave. Ba'ova amrlo Yehoyachin melech Yehudas Rabosai. They came and they told us to Yehoyachin that it's either you or us. And the king, of course, was willing to hand himself over to Nebuchadnezzar. So what did he do? He said to Yehoyachin, Nebuchadnezzar ba'ilach, Nebuchadnezzar wants you. Kevan Shishon Mehen, when he heard this, was to listen to this Gemara. Natal Maftechos Shal Beis HaMikdash. He took the keys of the Beis HaMikdash. Allah Legago Shal Hecho. He went up to the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash. And remember, this is his first temple. Armor the fun of Ribono Shalom and Yechonya. Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, the Sha'avar, Hayinu Ne'emanim Lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the past, we were trustworthy, and therefore you deposited your keys with us. Now we are no longer trustworthy. Yehoyachin understood that what was happening over here was a result of the failures of the people. I hereby give back your keys to you. Listen to what happened. There are two different opinions as to what happened over here. One says that Yehoyachin threw the keys up heavenward, the old lo yardu, and the keys never came down. The chad amar ba'al kiminyad v'net lasan yadu. Another opinion said, a hand extended itself from the heavens and took the keys from Yechaniah's hand. Kevan shera'u, chorin shera'u chori Yehuda, after the noblemen of Yehuda saw this, alu l'rosh gago sehen, they went up to their rooftops, v'noflu umesu. And they fell off their rooftops and they died. I will say, the people who saw this were so crushed by the enormity of these circumstances to literally see the Shekhinah, the Chvodo Uba'atzma, come down and retake the keys of the Beis HaMikdash was a clear signal that it was over, and they just fell to their death. Hadahu Dichziv. So here over here, also, the Gemara quotes the passage from Yeshaya. Naso Gechi Chizayon. They saw this vision. Malach ifo ki alisa kulach legagos. What have you seen that you've gone up to the rooftops? And the end of the pasuk is teshuos melea ir homia. You have seen ultimately a city that is filled with cries. Says the Mishnah. Yud gimel shulchanos hayim b'mikdash. Moshe, there were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. Ches shal shayish. Eight of them were made of marble. And where were they? The Beis Mitbachim. But also remember, there was a slaughter chamber in the Beis HaMikdash. I remember slaughtering itself, just so you understand. If I have a picture, quickly find. If not, okay. The large mizbeach, which was the animal altar mizbeach, was in the outer courtyard, and right next to the large mizbeach, there were rings. There are rings there. Those rings were there that you would bring your animal, you'd push the animal to the ground, the rings actually opened up, you put the animal's head in, and then you put the ring down to secure the animal in place. So shechita often took place right there. But remember, it's not just shechita, they had to cut open the animals, there's the kishkas, there's the stuff that gets offered up, there's the stuff that gets burned. So they had a chamber where all of this was done. In fact, the Mishnah Avos says that one of the miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash was there was never a fly in the Beis HaMikdashim. There was never a fly in the slaughter chamber, which of course is an amazing thing considering all the blood and all the schmutz, never a fly. So the Mishnah says over here that there were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. 8 of them were in the slaughter chamber, and they were made of marble. And the Bosai, the reason they're made of marble also is because marble is cold. So the idea is you wanted a cold table underneath the animal, just so it shouldn't accelerate any kind of decomposition or putrefaction process. So the Gemara says, Sha'alin madichin esakravim kivayim, because on those tables, that's where they would clean off all of the innards. Because remember, like we said, certain things had to be burned on the Mizbeach. Ubeis b'ma'arav, there were two tables in the west. There were two tables on the western side of the ramp of the Mizbeach. Echad shel shayish, one of them of marble, the echad shel kesef, and one of them of silver. Al shel shayish, on the marble one, no snes ha'ivarim, they would put the limbs, or also that were going to have to be taken up the Mizbeach to be burnt. The al shel kesef, and what would they put on the silver table? Kli sharis. There they would put the utensils that they were going to have to use for the service. Ubeiz bu'ulam mibifnim. And there were two tables, we'll say in the ulam. If you remember again, the ulam is the antechamber. Remember, we actually saw this in Erevin, right? How tall was the entranceway of the ulam? 20 amos, right? 20 amos. Entranceway of the Kodesh was 10. Entranceway of the ulam was 20 amos. This was the large antechamber, right? If you ever look at the pictures of the Beis HaMikdash, you'll notice when you go into the main building, there's like this huge front part, and then the actual Kodesh itself dips down and is lower. So in the ulam, they had two tables. Echad shal shayish, echad shal zav. One of marble, one made of gold. Al shayish nosen lechem aparim. On the one of marble, they put the lechem aparim. Most of this is when they were bringing the lechem aparim into the Beis Mikdash. Obviously, lechem aparim were not baked inside the Mikdash itself because there's no baking facility. They were baked elsewhere on the Har HaBayis and then brought in. When they were first brought in, they were put down on the marble table. And what happens? Bichnisaso va'al zav biyitziaso, and they were placed on the golden table when they went out of us. And now that golden table over here is a reference to the actual shulchan. So they went from a marble table to a golden table inside the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Shema'alin bakodesh v'lo moridin. Because very beautifully, because we only go up in kedusha and we don't go down. Echad shal zav mibifnim. And what did they go ahead? And they had one golden table on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Sha'alav lechem ha'panim tamid. That's where they placed the lechem ha'panim on an ongoing basis. Tani, al shel kasef. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, I'm skipping the parentheses. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Chanina mati bar b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, less kan shel kasef. So I'll say, interestingly enough, some delete any reference to silver tables within the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Mipnei shehu marsiach. Because Rav Osai, apparently the quality of silver is such that it heats up. So you wouldn't have anything that ultimately, again, has heat in it. Rav Osai, because remember, because understandably, whether it's lechem aponim or whether it's carbonos, you don't want heat because that would potentially accelerate spoilage. So they went, mipnei shehu marsiach. So the Gemara says, one second. Lo kein tani zeh. Echad min anisim shenasu b'Beis HaMikdash. But one second, did we not discuss, and I will say, the Gemara says over here, I'm sorry. Etani zeh, echad min anisim shenasu b'Beis HaMikdash. Shekeshim shayu manichin osocham, kach hayu motzin osocham. So I will say, one of the miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash was with the lechem aponim. What happened with lechem aponim? That they put it on when it was hot, and then a week later they took it off and it was still hot. Shene'emar, lasum lechem cham biyom hilakho, because the pasuk says to go ahead and literally place hot bread like the day it was. So that literally lasum lechem cham biyom hilakho means to place hot bread that would still be hot on the day that it was taken. So we'll say here what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara said, so use silver tables. Who cares? The Beis HaMikdash is one big miracle. So you're worried about now about using something that's going to accelerate spoilage? I don't understand, the lechem aponim itself is miraculous. It stays fresh the entire week. So obviously, this is not a din on what heats things up. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home. It'll be okay. Use the silver. So most of the Gemara gives a very profound answer. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, says you should underline this. Ein maskirin ma'asen nisim. Literally, we do not bring up miracles, which Rabbi Yehoshua is another way of saying, ein somchin alanes. We don't rely on miracles. Yes, we know the miracle is going to happen. But man does not operate with the expectation of miracles. Man operates, man does his part, man does his due diligence as to what's the appropriate approach. He takes that approach. So, all right, are we really worried that if we use the table of silver that it's going to spoil something? No. But at the end of the day, the Beit Maral says, it's a very important insight. The Beis HaMikdash was a place where you went to learn how to live. The Kohanim were role models. The symbolisms within the Beis HaMikdash were important life lessons. So when people saw that the Beis HaMikdash would not use a silver table because it would accelerate spoilage, despite the fact that what? When you went out to the courtyard, there was a fire coming down from heaven to consume karbanos. The Lechem HaPanim were fresh a week later. There was never a fly in the slaughterhouse. Crazy, ridiculous miracles happening all around you. That's okay. The miracles are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. My job is to put in my effort. And effort means securing my circumstances to the best of my ability to provide a positive outcome, a positive result. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do his part, but I first have to do mine. Incredible insight. So the Gemara says, Bon Kumi Rabbi Iva. So they asked the following question of Rabbi Iva. We'll say another fascinating Shaila. Bon Kumi, Bon Kumi Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Ila, excuse me. Lo Hayusham Lechem, Maulaniach the Shabbos Abar. But listen to this Shaila. What happens if for some reason they didn't have a new supply of Lechem Aponim? For argument's sake, can you leave the old Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan for an additional week? So they would normally switch over things right on Shabbos. So let's say, so we're not going to do that, but can we leave it for another week? So Amar Lun Ksivi says, well, it says, V'nasata ala shulchan, lechem panim lefonai tamid. Torah says, you have to have lechem panim on the shulchan always. Lechem panim afilu pasul. And he said, what do you see from here? That it has to be tamid. And what does that mean? Even if it means that you're going to use lechem panim pasul. I will say, what does pasul mean in this case? Oh. It's last week's lechem. Apparently, the imperative to maintain lechem on the shulchan overrides even what? Even fresh lechem panim. So the Gemara says, Asara Shulchanos Asa Shlomo. We'll say, it's very interesting. Shlomo HaMelech added on many things in the Beis HaMikdash. It's obviously the first temple. And obviously all of it he did with Rech Chodesh, with the Navi, but it's fascinating to see what he did. So Shlomo made 10 Shulchanos, 10 tables. Again, in the Mishkan, there was only one. Shlomo HaMelech made 10. So the Gemara says, Dichsiv Vaya Shulchanos Asara, Vayonach Behechol, Chamisha Miyamin, Vehe Mismol. So, and he put 5 of them on the right, 5 of them on the left. So the Gemara says, "In Timar, Chamisha b'Daron v'Hebet Zafon." Now, is that to say that he put 5 in the south and 5 in the north? But that can't be. V'Halo Ina Shulchan Kasha Elabet Zafon. The Shulchan Abbas. Remember, the utensils of the Beis Hamikdash have specific places. So the Shulchan has to be in the north. So where does Shlomo Melech put the 10 tables? Shneemar Ve'es Hashulchan Titin Al Selat Zafon. Matam Lomer. So what does it mean that Shlomo Melech put 10 tables? Chamish. Or what does it mean he put 5 on the left, 5 on the right? Chamisha miyamin, the chamisha mismol. What does it mean? He put 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Ela chamisha miyamin shulchan shel Moshe, the chamisha mismolo. So we'll say, what did he do? He took the shulchan that Moshe Rabbeinu had constructed, which was now in the north of the Beis Hamikdash, and he put 5 on the right of that shulchan and 5 on the left of the shulchan. So interesting. So he made there were 10 additional shulchanos, but each of them were on the side of the original shulchan. So therefore, they were all in the north. Afa pikein. But amazingly enough, Rav Hossein saying these extra tables were just there for the beautification of the Beis HaMikdash. The Lechem HaPanim was only arranged on the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shene Amar, because the Pasuk says, Ve'es HaShulchan Asher Alav. Es HaShulchan Asher Alav. Lechem HaPanim. Because the Rav Hossein, the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, that what? That when it talks about that Lechem HaPanim, it talks about singular. That the Lechem HaPanim was on the Shulchan. What is the Shulchan? That's the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Huda Omer, Akulon Hayim Esader. So Rav Hossein is so beautiful. Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Huda says, no, they actually put the Lechem HaPanim on all of the different Shulchanos. Shine Emar, Es HaShulchanos, Va'alehem lechem haponim. So we'll say, if you take a look at Tiklin Charetin says over here, he says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Akulon, or Bavli, Obibavli Nokat Lebi Rabbi Lazar and Shimov Rabbi Osi Rabbi Yud. The Svirle Dei Mesadr Ella Amosha. So I will say again, this can mean two different things also. It could mean that the Pashas, what they did is they put it on all of the tables, but at the end they took those loaves and they only placed them on the Shulchan Amosha. So they might have done the rounds on all of the other shulchanos, but they ended up on the shulchan Moshe Rabbeinu. Or it could actually mean that they baked enough lechem upon him for all of the different shulchanos. So fundamental machlokes, did they put the lechem upon him on all of the shulchanos, or did they put the lechem upon him just on the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu? All right, we'll stop over here.